Srimad Bhagavatam 1.8.48. King Yudhisthira said, O my lot, I am the most sinful man. Just see my heart, which is full of ignorance. This body, which is ultimately meant for others, has killed many, many phalanxes of men. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. A solid phalanx of 21,870 chariots, 21,870 elephants, 109,650 infantry, and 65,600 cavalry is called the Akshohini. And many Akshohinis were killed on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Maharaj Yudhisthira, as the most pious king of the world, takes for himself the responsibility for killing such a huge number of living beings, because the battle was fought to reinstate him on the throne. This body is, after all, meant for others. While there is life in the body, it is meant for the service of others. And when it is dead, it is meant to be eaten by dogs and jackals or maggots. He is sorry because for such a temporary body, such a huge massacre was committed. Om Agana Timirandasya Ganangana Shalakaya Chaksuramilitan Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave. Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam. Yeah. What?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just. If you wouldn't mind turning down your speaker a little bit, because it is giving you an echo.
Me?
Sorry.
Okay. I don't hear it, so. Yeah, I don't need it on at all, I guess. Yeah, my speaker. Om Agana, Nangina Shalakaya, Chaksur Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhisam Stapitam Yena Bhutale. Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam. Shri Rupam Sajajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Jajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Padijana Sahitaha Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitam Cha. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagat Pate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavani Shuri Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Iti Namane. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Pascha Chadesatarine. Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namani Gora Trishe Nama. Namaste. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagat Pate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavani Shuri Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Panchakalpa Truvyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyavacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Idam Bhagavatam Nama Purana Brahma Samhitam Uttama Shloka Charitam Chikara Bhagavan Rishi Nishaya Saya Lokasya Danyam Swastaya Namaha. That this Srimad Bhagavatam is purely spiritual and it's auspicious for everyone. This is Yudhisthira. Now he's sounding something like Arjuna before the battle. And Yudhisthira is, in his humility, thinking that it's all his fault because he just wanted to be a king. So many people were killed. So he gives his philosophical point that the body is meant to serve others. The body is always owned by someone else. This is something that we find in the Bhagavatam. You know, there's some place where who can say who's the owner of the body? You know, when you're a baby, it's your parents, and then it belongs to the state. They can come and, you know, draft you into the military. Or sometimes someone is a slave, and it belongs to the particular family. You know, it's always meant for someone else. It's meant to serve someone, for someone else's pleasure also. But he's saying that, you know, because of him, so many people have been killed. So he has to be pacified. And we get the big number of how many men there, you know, this one Akshohini is, you know, 40-some thousand plus 100 to 140, 100, you know, 200,000, over 200,000 men. And there was 18 or something in the battle. And who knows how many servants and other people, they were all killed in just 18 days. We don't have battles like that anymore. But so in this humility, he's taking it on himself, you know, and feeling guilty and feeling like, you know, he shouldn't be the king because he's just lusty for power, and then it's caused so much trouble. Because the battle was fought to put him on the throne, but that was Krishna's desire. He also, like Arjuna in the beginning, he was saying, okay, you know, we don't want all this. He wanted something, but he didn't want to go through all this battle, and he knew the same thing as Arjuna, everybody's going to be killed. So the purport is saying something about the body is meant to serve others. Even a king is the servant of everybody. The president of the United States is the servant of the voters. Otherwise he won't get elected. But even if he wasn't, just after election, he's supposed to be the servant of everyone else. The father serves its children, the children serve the father, you know, the dog is serving everybody, but the people serve the dog, and everybody is a servant. We know from Bob Dylan that truth. I always figured we always heard he associated with devotees, so he might have learned that much, you know. You got to serve somebody. No matter who you are, you got to serve somebody. And then the dead body, depending on what culture you live in, will be eaten by dogs and jackals or maggots if they bury it, eaten by worms. Sometimes eaten by birds. There's one religion in India called the Parsi. I think it's the Parsis. And they have a tower, they call it a Tower of Death. And it's in the Bombay city somewhere, just a black tower like a big chimney sticking up. And they put the dead body up on top of that. And there's always vultures circling around. You know, big vultures, and they circle, you know, they fly, they just kind of glide around, and then when they put a body, they just whoop down, and in a few minutes they eat the body. And then they just put some bones in the acid and finished. Other cultures burn the body, bury the body, mummify the body, but, you know, it usually goes for someone else. Eventually some other living entity is eating it. So he's feeling that just for his temporary body, he's on that, apparently on that platform. So Yudhisthira is in the, he's thinking he shouldn't be the king. So here we're coming up to the point where he gets convinced by Bhishma. Krishna already tried to talk him into it. He wouldn't go for it. I think Vasudev talked to him, but he still was in this mood. It's actually humility. lamenting, you know, for the suffering of so many people and the devastation of all these families and everything. And then finally he talks to Bhishma Dev, which is the next chapter. But in the Mahabharata, it's a major, big portion of the Mahabharata. And Bhishma is instructing Yudhisthira. Now there's a little, you know, a few verses together where Yudhisthira, you know, gives his lamentation. So I'd like to go ahead and read the other ones because they're short. Purports are more or less just repeating the, you know, the shloka. Bala Dvija Surin Mitra Pitri Bharti Guru Druha Name Shan Nidayan Moksho Yappi Varshayu Tayu Tai. So he said, I have killed many boys, brahmanas, well-wishers, friends, parents, preceptors, and brothers. I will not be relieved from the hell that awaits me for all these sins, even if I live there for millions of years. So he's really expecting that he's going to go to hell for all that he's responsible for all these deaths. This is his extreme humility. Purport. Whenever there is a war, there is certainly a massacre of many innocent living beings, such as boys, Brahmins, and women, whose killing is considered to be the greatest of sins. They are all innocent creatures, and in all circumstances, killing of them is forbidden in the scriptures. Yudhisthira was aware of these mass killings. Similarly, there were friends, parents, and preceptors also on both sides, and all of them were killed. It was simply horrible for him to think of such killing. Therefore, he was thinking of residing in hell for millions and billions of years. So even though that it sounds like, even though they're on the battlefield, that other people besides the soldiers somehow got killed, there was peripheral. As they say now, peripheral damage. You know, they couldn't help it that the bomb, you know, hit the hospital or the school or something, they say, in modern warfare. But they never feel guilty about it. But he's got that consciousness to, you know, feeling bad for everybody else's suffering. So he's taking it quite far. He knew what happened. And one more, I think. Naino Ragya Prajabhartu Dharma Yude Vado Dusham Iti Main Na Tu Bodhaya Kalpate Shashanam Vachaha. There is no sin for a king who kills for the right cause, but who is engaged in maintaining his citizens. But this injunction does not apply to me. So, and of course, Yudhisthira is Dharmaraj. He's a son of Yamaraj. And so he's a Dharmaraj. He knows Dharma. He knows, you know, the law of Dharma much more than anyone else. So he's giving his back to. When the king kills, you know, for the protection of the citizens, and there's an attack from demons, and then there's no sin. When the king executes a murderer, there's no sin for that. But he's saying for himself, it was all done just for his false ego. He's thinking that he wanted to be a king. But he was the rightful king, and Krishna wanted him to have his throne, which had been usurped, and these other people were the sinful people. And they were the aggressors. They took everything away from Yudhisthira and then refused to give him anything. And they, you know, threatened war all the time. So Yudhisthira was thinking that although he was not, this is purport, not involved actually in the administration of the kingdom, which was being carried on well by Duryodhan without harm to the citizens, he caused the killing of so many living beings only for his personal gain of the kingdom from the hands of Duryodhan. The killing was committed not in the course of administration, but for sake of self-aggrandizement, and as such he thought himself responsible. So actually that's not the fact, again to repeat, but he's thinking like that. The kingdom was going on. Duryodhan He also, during his own question, well, I'm a good king, you know, the kingdom's going on, the citizens are all, you know, materially happy, everything is there. But he was not the rightful king, and he was not a Krishna conscious king. He was not giving the people proper education in that way. Just like many modern kingdoms that, you know, they're not kingdoms anymore. Some are called a kingdom, but countries. You know, the government does provide things that are quite materially nice for most people. You know, America, people come there, it looks like it's really nice. You know, we've got natural gas piped into all the houses and water and, you know, sewage and good roads and, you know, it's quite nice. But they're not providing, at least we get freedom of religion, but they're not really promoting religion. They're promoting all irreligious principles in a big way. Because that's just what people want. They want sense gratification. They want intoxication. They want meat eating. They want pornography. I remember when it first became a big thing, pornography on the internet, and of course there was a move by the conservative people that it should be blocked, like some countries. You can't access the pornographic sites. They can block them. But the American argument was that it's freedom of speech and you can't interfere with people's freedom of speech. If they want to put pornography on the internet, you can't say no, because America stands for freedom. So that's madness. So Krishna wanted Yudhisthira, who was the righteous king, and you know, by his own example, he was a perfect devotee and completely renounced and completely fair to everyone. And Duryodhana was the one that was greedy and lusty and like that. So, one more verse, I guess. You know, it just keeps going. Srinam Adhata Bandhunam Droho Yosav Iho Tita Karma Bir Grihameda Yar Naham Kalpo Vyapohitam. I've killed many friends and women, and I have thus caused enmity to such an extent that it is not possible to undo it by material welfare work. So this is what Arjuna predicted, that there would be so many women left without husbands, without sons, without fathers. The women were not in the battlefield, but they're suffering also. So it's just like they're killed. So he's saying that he can't, by ordinary welfare work, you know, by building, you know, by just making the kingdom again materially nice, you can't solve that problem, that, you know, people are going to be really hating him because of the situation of the war. He's thinking. Purport, Grihamedis are those whose work only business is to perform welfare work for the sake of material prosperity. Such material prosperity is sometimes hampered by sinful activities. For the materialist is sure to commit sins, even unintentionally, in the course of discharging material duties. To get relief from such sinful reactions, the Vedas prescribe several kinds of sacrifices. It is said in the Vedas that by performing the Ashvamedha Yajna, horse sacrifice, one can get relief from even Brahmahatya, killing of a Brahmana. Yudhisthira performed this Ashvamedha, but he thinks that even by performing such yajnas, it's not possible to get relief from the great sins he committed by killing the friends and relatives of innocent women. In a war, either a woman's husband or brother or even father or sons go to fight. And when they are killed, a fresh enmity is created. Thus a chain of actions and reactions increases and is not possible to be counteracted even by thousands of Ashvamedha yajnas. The way of karma is like that. It creates one action and another reaction simultaneously, and thus increases the chain of material activities, binding the performer in material bondage. In the Bhagavad Gita 9:27-28, the remedy is suggested that such actions and reactions of the path of work can be checked only when work is done on behalf of the Supreme Lord. The battle of Kurukshetra was actually fought by the will of the Lord, Krishna, as is evident from his version. and only by his will was Yudhisthira placed on the throne of Hastinapur. Therefore, factually, no sin whatsoever touched the Pandavas, who were only the order carriers of the Lord. For others who declare war out of personal interest, the whole responsibility lies on them. So now we're getting the whole philosophical thing. Bhagavad Gita 9:27 and 28. Yat karoshi yat asnashi yat chahosi dadasi yat tat yat karu tapasya konteya tat karushva madarpanam. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer, give away, or whatever austerities you perform, do that as an offering to me. These verses are well known by devotees. Shubha shubha palarevam mokshase karma bandhanai sannyasa yoga yuktatma vimuktoma mupaishasi. In this way you will be freed from bondage of work and its auspicious and inauspicious results. With your mind fixed on me in this principle of renunciation, you will be liberated and come to me. So much is there to summarize all the other things and bring it all clear. Even the Ashwamedha Yajna is considered like, well, that welfare work, because it's done for the benefit of the kingdom. So Yudhisthira did it, the horse sacrifice. He did others, but he's saying that he still can't make up for the, you know, he thinks that he can't counteract. But the fact is, because he's just carrying out the order of the Lord, there's no sin. Sin means it's against Krishna. It's against the order of the Lord. So if one makes war just, you know, for his own profit, or, you know, I mean, in the history of the world, we have war just to get a woman. Somebody wants a particular woman, they make war, to get somebody's land, to get money, to get who knows what. Sometimes nowadays, I guess everyone says it's the oil. In Africa, wherever there's war, it's over diamonds, you know, over some kind of wealth, power, just madness. Somebody, you know, like there was that one guy in the Middle East that thought, you know, because it 2,000 years ago in the Bible it said that the land belonged to, you know, his country or something, and he wanted to take a few other countries. So that's all sinful. And they get reaction for all the killing. The soldiers who are just acting under the order of the king is different, but whoever directs it is getting terrible reactions. So every action creates a reaction. These are laws of karma. Usually people think karma means reaction, but it's impossible to do something without some kind of reaction. We all learned that in physics, you know, Newton's law. And people think, well, I'm only hurting myself, or, you know, I'm a good person, I don't hurt anybody, but no matter what we do, we're, you know, damaging somebody, some life form, bumping somebody the wrong way, very small thing. Even physics now, they say like a butterfly can flap his wings somewhere and the other side of the world there'll be a hurricane. In other words, the small thing we do now might end up, you know, the reactions roll along like an avalanche, you know, this big snowball. It starts out pretty small, but then it just rolling down and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and then it starts to shake up everything. So we never know what kind of reaction we're going to get. Then it works the other way, like when we're preaching. You know, we preach a little bit, but the reaction will go on and on and on, maybe farther and further. One person hears it, and they pass it on, or they start to chant, they start to do devotional service, and they influence someone else, or that influences someone else. So that's the another type of akarma karma. It's the reactions and reactions for our activities, but good. Whatever devotees do for Krishna, that's under the guidance of Krishna, that has good results. So we see the movement expanding in that way. More and more people take up the process even, but even just appreciating Krishna consciousness, just getting books. And, you know, more and more people are getting books, more and more people are chanting all over the world. Devotees are trying to put in more energy for lots of big kirtan programs, 12-hour kirtans, 24-hour kirtans, 48-hour kirtan, kirtan festivals for 1 week. You know, really realizing the power of just keep chanting, and the reactions are spreading very far and wide. And people are getting Bhagavad Gita. Krishna's arranging many things. I don't know if you just read a little thing came from Vijay in the book distribution Nectar. He was on the campus, and a boy came up. He had a Bhagavad Gita. He said, I have some good news for you. He said, I bought this Bhagavad Gita, and I went back to my room in the dormitory, and there was another Bhagavad Gita on the table. My friend, my roommate, he got one earlier. And then the third roommate came in, and he had one also. So that's, you know, that's what we call coincidence, but nothing is accidental. It's Krishna's plan. Put three boys, you know, somehow in the university, usually the roommates are kind of, I don't know how they decide. You don't usually pick your own roommates, but, you know, they all bought Bhagavad Gita on the same day. So that's going to definitely create some sort of a Bhagavad Gita study group. I don't know what day it is there, because now, today here is the disappearance day of Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. And I don't know for you if it was your yesterday or your today. But anyway, it's interesting that these three, there's a samadhi at Radhakund, Teen Samadhi, Teen Goswami Samadhi, the three, not teenage samadhi, but teen means three in Hindi. Three samadhis all in one place. And all these great souls, they all on the same, not the same year, but the same day, left their bodies. So it's a very interesting example of feelings of separation, how intense they can become. And we've all experienced separation from using material objects, sometimes from people. If we lose a girlfriend, or we lose our parents, or we lose, you know, some dear friend, many times just for some stupid thing when we lose it, and our money especially, or anything, we misplace and we panic and think of that thing very intensely. So Raghunath Das Goswami was a senior, and he left his body. And then some years later, I don't know how many years later, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, who was younger amongst the Goswamis, because he was the son of Tapan Mishra, Lord Chaitanya's associate that he stayed with in Benares. And so at that time, the other Goswamis, I think, were already in Vrindavan, Rupa, and Sanatan. And Raghunath Bhatta was young. And as a boy, he was able to serve Lord Chaitanya, and massaging his feet or whatever, something he did. Then later, he came to Puri to be with Lord Chaitanya. And after he was there for some time, Lord Chaitanya told him to go and take care of his parents, who were old, and they were Vaishnavas. So he told him you should take care of them. And it's a simultaneous study Srimad Bhagavatam from a realized soul. So he did that for some years. And when the parents left their body, then he went back to Puri to be with Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya loved him very much. He was an expert cook and expert reciter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Then Lord Chaitanya sent him to Vrindavan also, to be with the Goswamis, Rupa Sanatan, and Raghunath Das, and everybody. And he would just recite Srimad Bhagavatam. That was his service. And he had a very beautiful voice, like a cuckoo bird, and he would just chant the Bhagavatam in three different melodies. And the other Goswamis, they'd all get together just to hear the Bhagavatam from him for many hours every day. And that was his duty, just recite Srimad Bhagavatam given to him by Lord Chaitanya. Nice service. And we all have that service, actually, to talk about the Srimad Bhagavatam as much as possible to whoever we meet. That would be ideal. So at some point, he was older, and he was on the disappearance day of Raghunath Das. He was lamenting the separation from Raghunath Das, and it became so intense that he left his body, feeling the agony of not having the association of Raghunath Das any longer. Then again, some years later, Krishnadas Kaviraj, who was very close to Raghunath Das, because it's from him that he heard Srimad Lord Chaitanya's Leelas and was able to write Srimad Chaitanya Charitamrita. So he was lamenting the loss of both of their association on that disappearance day, and he left his body. So the samadhis are there at Radhakund. Their bodies were burned because Jiva Goswami was afraid that Muslims would desecrate the graves and, you know, dig up the bodies or something. They were doing things like that. So for some time there, he was burning the bodies even of the great sages, great advanced devotees. And the Ashwamedha Yajna is a big one. It's done by kings. I think Ramachandra did it. Yudhisthira did it. That's how Indra became Indra, by doing 100, I think. And then when Maharaj Prithu had done 99, but Indra got so afraid that if he did the same number as him or did more than him, Indra would lose his job, that he stopped it every time. And didn't let him do any more. Finally, Vishnu came and said, just forget it, and they should be friends. But the Chaitanya Charitamrita describes it. To think that chanting the holy name is compared to an Ashwamedha Yajna, which is in material yajnas the most biggest one and the most effective one. It's very, very difficult to perform. You have to have perfect brahmanas because they have to kill the horse and bring it back to life, and nobody can do this anymore. But to think that one chanting of the Maha Mantra can be compared even to a million Ashwamedha Yajnas, which said one will have to go to hell, is an offense to the holy name. It's the eighth offense, to think that chanting the holy name is compared to the yajna, you know, offered in the Karma Kanda section of the Vedas. The section of the Vedas is just promoting good karma. So even though the king does this not for his own personal gain, Duryodhana couldn't, the Brahmins wouldn't allow him to even do it. He wasn't pure enough. But they do it because it benedicts the whole kingdom materially, you know, make sure that the demigods are satisfied and the rains come on schedule and, you know, it doesn't rain too much, doesn't rain too little. You know, all these things that will go on because of this yajna. But the chanting of the holy name is the Maha Yajna, and it's not for material gain. It's completely spiritual. So we have, you know, examples of all these great Goswamis, you know, that they were just purified and advanced, and their lives were, you know, just think Raghunath just reciting Srimad Bhagavatam all day. Also, he was a very good cook, and Lord Chaitanya loved to eat his cooking. And the smart, the Brahmins, you know, they say a sannyasi is not supposed to cook. Like, Lord Chaitanya would never cook for himself, because he, but the Goswami followed Vaishnav. The Vajitanya was setting the example for, you know, as a very, very strict smarta, you know, sannyasi, because that's what people admired, and he didn't want people to offend him. But Raghunath Bhatta was a great cook, and Gadadhar Pandit was also a great cook. They would cook for Krishna. They weren't cooking for themselves either, just sense gratification. They were cooking for Krishna. Raghunath Das, he lived at Radhakund. Lord Chaitanya had ordered him, don't dress opulently and don't eat opulently. So he lived at Radhakund, and he was super austere, super renounced, chanted 200,000 names of Krishna, of God, every day. That's about 128 rounds. He offered obeisances to 2,000 Vaishnavas, Dandabad obeisances. And if any other Vaishnav showed up, he would offer obeisances to them also. And then he would recite Chaitanya Leela for 3 hours every day, because he had been the intimate associate of Srup Damodar Goswami, who was the secretary of Lord Chaitanya and was always with Lord Chaitanya and had witnessed all his dealings in Puri and taken notes on everything. So they knew all his, you know, intimate preaching and also his teachings too, you know. So Raghunath was familiar with all that, and he recited 3 hours every day at Radhakund. And Krishnadas Kaviraj listened to him and took notes. So later, Krishnadas was requested by all the devotees to write all this down, because otherwise they thought it would be lost. He was the last one that really knew all the different, you know, pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. So he hesitated to, you know, take that, to have the audacity to write the pastimes of the Lord. And he went to the Madan Mohan temple to get permission. So as he was paying obeisances, a garland fell off the deity, and the priest gave it to him. So he understood this was the Lord's confirmation, that yes. So he wrote Chaitanya Charitamrita in very old age, crippled hands with shaking and with like arthritis, and said he was, you know, very poor vision, going blind. But, and this is not with a dictaphone or with, you know, computer or something. It's, they were scratching, not with ink, but scratching on palm leaves. Something like that. So, you know, you can't make a mistake. If you make a mistake, you're going to just start the whole page over again. And but Prabhupada said the poetry and the writing, everything in grammar and Chaitanya Charitamrita is perfect. There's no mistakes anywhere. So we can learn from Yudhisthira humility. And he's speaking Dharma, but it's like Krishna told Arjuna, you're lamenting for the wrong way, because Yudhisthira is somehow or other covered over by Krishna to, you know, to forget that transcendental aspect of the activities, and just thinking, oh, it's all for my own sense gratification. But wasn't it all for his sense gratification? He was willing to not go in the battle, but Krishna pushed him into it. So the next chapter is a wonderful one with Bhishma enlivening him. So there's a few minutes if any questions. You want to on your mics again?
Okay, you have to give me a minute. Okay. Now, I have something to do with me, but so if anyone has any questions or comments, don't matter how you class. I don't know if today is the same day as in India. I could have it with the calendar.
It's yesterday.
Oh, was it yesterday?
Yeah.
Anyway, it's always something worthwhile.
I have just a little comment. I was doing some a little bit of research yesterday, just in case it wasn't possible for you to come. So I'm looking at the verse, and the description here about the different phalanxes, the Akshahini divisions.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like they're about four times the size of a modern field army. And the astonishing thing is that although in numbers, the estimate that's given in the Mahabharata, approximately 4 million soldiers were killed. You can imagine that there was probably also really half of the people who were saying. So it's at least 4 million. But it was in the 11 days. So
18 days.
We did some calculations and let me just pull this up. A little bit might be some trivia that I find interesting to get a handle on this. If you were to take it's estimated that it takes 90,840 drops of water to make a gallon, and 42 gallons to fill up a standard bathtub. So that's the amount of people, soldiers, that were killed, at minimum, in the Battle of Kurukshetra in 11 days.
Yeah, it was big. But it was Krishna's will, you know, to get rid of so many demoniac men and powerful men to make way for Kali Yuga. Very, you know, wars now are not so big like that. But it's much worse because World War I is the last war that was fought on a battlefield. Then they started bombing towns and factories and cities and just killing everybody. And not just the soldiers. So war now is much hell, much more. Any other comment or question?
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, you were talking about how the soldiers, like the foot soldiers, they were just following orders.
Yeah.
Did they get karma for that? Did they get their karma lessened, or did they not get any karma for that?
I'm not sure, but you know, there's karma for everything, but it's not the same. Prabhupada said that many times, you know, and even in the Vietnam time he was speaking and people had so much aversion to war. But he was saying that, you know, if you're ordered by the government, even in mundane law, you know, if someone is in the war and they killed many, many people, it's a hero. But if they come back, and this happened after Vietnam, many Vietnam soldiers, they killed people without even thinking. They just, by some instant reaction, the noise or something, and they couldn't understand what's wrong with it because they've been told so much that it's good to kill. But there's got to be, you know, karma that you get involved in such a thing. But when they're doing it on the order of the government like that, it's not the same as someone just going out and killing whimsically on their own initiative. There must be some kind of karma, but it's not the same. And of course, we don't have like Yudhisthira's case where it's directly Krishna telling him to do it. You know, so the government's also demoniac, but by our karma, we're in a certain country, and then people have to do certain things, and people certainly get reactions for it. Post-traumatic stress disorder and all that.
How karma, more and more entangled.
Yeah.
An example is how you just get more and more entangled.
You just get more and more entangled, and some kind of reactions are always there. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, any more questions? Right.
So, on the one hand, it was very ghastly, but by Krishna's arrangement, it was actually the most wonderful occasion and most auspicious.
Yeah, he's liberating everybody. And the warriors enjoy fighting. And that's what Krishna told Arjuna, happier the Kshatriyas. If they die, they go to the higher planets, and if they live, they get the rewards. So they're happy when battles come.
Luciano, if the room had a question, are you able to ask? Do you have mic?
Hi, Krishna. Can you hear me?
Yes, you're fine.
Yes. I just wanted to ask a question. Many occasions after reading Bhagavad Gita, I think that from Arjuna, for example, it's necessary that sometimes adversity needs to be forceful. And lately, like Brian, a big issue which has come up for us here, a group of devotees went for the God of the Hagavatam. And really, we haven't had any sort of serious influence with the public. It's more an issue of some people sometimes feeling secure and not with God. So I was just wondering if the first could comment on that.
I couldn't catch all the words. A lot of crackle came in.
I actually missed something. You said
E-O-G, dog. Dog?
What
has faith in Krishna or all those perfected devotees, and if any force may be necessary in Krishna to serve us, but Krishna is also entire person to Paramatma to apply the necessary force. So I was just wondering, is it necessary to have God, or maybe another country they have God on the higher level?
I heard it's necessary to have God, but I couldn't catch everything.
Let me try. You just asked, you said that recently in, do you remember that right? There's been necessity to have guards come on Harinam. I guess it was just dangerous. He's asking, is that really necessary? Shouldn't we just trust that Krishna will protect us?
Ramananda? The main issue is that some devotees have a bit of faith. So if they feel things which make them sure, then they think they need protection. So it's really, there's been no incident, that's the truth of making my mind go down. Why would devotees need wells when there's never been any bad incident? So just some trying to figure it out.
It would probably be hard for any of us to address, to respond to, to give you an answer to that question without having real first-hand knowledge as to what's going on there, the culture, the climate, not the change in words, but I don't think any of us would dare to advise you as to whether guards are appropriate or not. It seems on, just speaking in a general way, that will Krishna always protect us? Of course he will, but one way in which Krishna protects us is to give us intelligence. Will Krishna protect you if you walk out in front of a moving car, if you walk out in the street very foolishly? You say, well, I could walk out, but Krishna will protect me. Or would we swim in sharp infested waters thinking Krishna will protect me? Anyway, I suppose maybe if our faith is strong enough, that perhaps we will not look for law. But I'm certainly not on that level, and I haven't swim in sharp infested waters, nor would I drink poison, nor would I enter into a pit of snakes, or be in a situation where I could be trampled by elephants, you know, collapse on a whole other level. So I think we, you know, have to do the needful. Prabhupada always told us that, you know, utility is a principle, we have to be pragmatic. And to give you an actual pragmatic answer to that question, you know, again, we speak in more general terms, and so far as whether guards are appropriate or not, I don't think any of us could say that actually, you know, to force out the situation. That's what I would say.
Thank you for your answer. Well, I don't want to give a medical question. What happens here? But I've looked at the video on the way we are doing computer tuning, and just so you sort of get a grip of hard work, and put it on the chat, so I mean, certainly people can see the video. I'm not getting another question. Maybe my question was just going to be asked, maybe on the solution.
Here's another couple of comments. Let's just take a worst case, or we could also call it that case in India. Let's just say you're out on Mahasamudra Bhavan. You're out there representing, you're putting your life in the line for Lord Chaitanya, and you're killed in that service. I would sure feel confident that Krishna would protect that devotee and take that confidence. Another great way to go is just like some people want to throw themselves into the deal that they not be at your heart. You know that they'll hold on to the people. So, you know, what does he do? What does he do? What does he do? Anyway, these are all the little ancillary comments, but the pragmatic answer would have to come somewhere with a lot more actual direct experience there with that. And it's really made it more than one opinion. I think that's okay too.
Okay, thank you. Please look at the videos which I put in the chat box. They're very nice videos.
Are we able to read what's in the chat box after class is over?
No, I'll just put it in the Skype chat. Get off the text.
I am sorry, I just came up with an emergency here. I have to deal with a funny emergency. Sorry. I'm at my grandma's house. Could we abruptly in class right now? I'm sorry, it's just, I got to deal with something right now. Also, the most didn't appear to work. I could run into this content and content, but it's currently unavailable.
Okay. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. I agree with what Narahari Prabhu was saying.
Krishna Prasthaya Bhutta Vaishnava.